Jenny Worm. I was asked by Pastor Dirk to read Box and Socks, so we can't be delighted to find out what the connection is between Box and Socks and the sermon of the day. Box, Socks, Box, Knox. Knox in Box, Box in Socks. Knox on Box and Socks in Box. Socks on Knox and Knox in Box. Box and Socks on Box on Knox. Chicks with bricks come, chicks with blocks come. Chicks with bricks and blocks and clocks come. Look, sir, Mr. Knoxer, let's do tricks with bricks and blocks, sir. Let's do tricks with chicks and blocks, sir. First, I'll make a quick trip brick stack, then I'll make a quick trip block stack. You can make a quick trip chick stack, you can make a quick trip block stack. And here's a new trick, Mr. Knox. Socks and chicks on box. Box on clocks, on bricks and blocks on box on box. Now we come to chicks and clocks, you try to say this, Mr. Knoxer. Clocks on box tick, clocks on box top. Six sick bricks chick, six sick chicks top. Please, sir, I don't like this trick, sir. My tongue isn't quick or slick, sir. I got all those ticks and clocks are mixed up with chicks and clocks, sir. I can't do it, Mr. Boxer. I'm so sorry, Mr. Knoxer. Here's an easy game to play, here's an easy thing to say. New socks, two socks, who socks, who socks. Who sews who socks, who sews who socks. Who sees who sew, who's new socks, sir. You see who sews who's new socks, sir. That's not easy, Mr. Boxer. Who comes crow comes, slow Joe crow comes. Who sews crow's clothes, who sews crow's clothes. Slow Joe crow sews who's clothes, who's clothes. Who sews socks and box and socks now. Slow Joe crow sews knocks and box now. Sue sews rolls on Slow Joe Crow's clothes. Fox sews holes on Slow Joe Crow's nose. Holes goes, rolls, rolls. Nose holes goes up, rolls, rolls, rolls up. Mr. Fox, I hate this game, sir. This game makes my tongue quite lame, sir. Mr. Knox, sir, what a shame, sir. We'll find something new to do. Here's a lots of new blue Gouda. New goo, blue goo, blue gooey, blue goo, new goo, blue gooey. Blue, blue, blue. Gooey goos are chewy chewing. That's what that goo goose is doing. Do you choose to chew goo too, sir? If, sir, you, sir, choose to chew, sir, with the goo goose, chew, sir, do, sir. Mr. Fox, sir, I won't do it. I can't say it. I won't chew. Very well, sir. Step this way. We'll find another game to play. Then comes Ben. Ben brings Ben's broom. Ben brings Ben's broom. Ben bends Ben's broom. Ben bends Ben's broom. Ben spends Ben's bends. Ben spins broom breaks, Ben spins broom breaks. Ben spins, Ben spins, Ben bends, Ben bends. Ben and Ben making bands with brooms. Ben spins bangs and Ben spins brooms. Big band broom band, big band broom band. My poor mouth can't say that, no sir. My poor mouth is much too slow, sir. Well then, bring your mouth this way, I'll find something you can say. Luke Luck likes legs, Luke's deaf likes legs. Luke Luck looks legs, Luke's deaf likes legs. Duck takes lips and licks Luke Luck likes. Luke Luck takes lips and licks duck likes. Try to say this, Mr. Fox. Knox, really, please. Through three cheese trees, three free fleas flew. While these fleas flew, Freezy Breeze flew. Freezy Breeze made these three trees freeze. Freezy Trees made these trees cheese freeze. That's what made these three free fleas sneeze. Stop it, that's enough, sir. I can't say some silly stuff, sir. Very well, then, Mr. Knoxer, let's have a little talk about Tweedledeers. What do you know about Tweedledeers? Well, when Tweedledeetle's fight is called a Tweedledeetle battle. When the battle in the puddle, it's a Tweedledeetle puddle battle. And when Tweedledeetle's battle with paddles in the puddle, they call it a Tweedledeetle puddle paddle battle. And beetles battle beetles in the puddle paddle battle, and the beetle battle puddle is a puddle in a bottle. They call this a tweedle beetle bottle puddle paddle battle puddle. And the beetles fight these battles in the bottle with the paddles, and the bottle's on the poodle, and the poodle is eating noodles. They call this a muddle puddle tweedle poodle beetle noodle bottle paddle battle. And now we know this, Mr. Sox Fox. When the fox is in the bottle, where the tweedle beetles battle with the paddles in the puddle on a noodle eating poodle, this is what they call a tweedle beetle noodle boodle bottle paddle muddle duddle puddle bluddle fox in socks, sir. Fox in socks, our game is done, sir. Thank you for a lot of fun, sir. Peace!
Well, I think Jeannie did a pretty good job. All right. Well, our teaching lesson that goes with this story comes from John, the second chapter. And we read, "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' Now standing there were six stone jars for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the jars with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, 'Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward.' So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, 'Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now.' Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him." And this is the gospel of our Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can it be that Dr. Seuss can find a place among the great theologians of our time? Well, I think so. And I say this because over the past few weeks, I've started believing that perhaps there are no better illustrations for biblical principles than those found in Dr. Seuss stories. His themes such as faithfulness, fairness, friendship, greed, pride, hope, adventure, acceptance, and transformation, to name just a few, helps us to understand what is truly important in life. His messages cause us to think about ourselves in new ways. And above all, his playful and whimsical use of word and art reminds us that life is to be filled with fun. Now this morning, we end our Dr. Seuss series taking a look at his book, Box and Socks. And as we just saw and heard as Jeannie read this book to her granddaughter, this story is filled with some pretty amazing tongue twisters. Some pretty amazing tongue twisters that very few of us could ever hope to successfully string together. At least not with a lot of patience and practice. But how many of us would be willing to sit down and read and reread this book over and over again until we could not only successfully pronounce this wacky wordplay, but do it so fast and with so much confidence we could impress our friends and family? Now I know I don't have the time to take on this challenge, and I bet none of you do either. Why, it's a miracle I even have time to get up and make the bed in the morning, let alone find time for such a silly endeavor as learning to read and mastering the rhyming run-ons found on these pages. But still, it would be cool if I had the time to get that good. So I wonder, if I'm never going to be prodded to turn into a proficient tongue-twisting storyteller, what is it about this book that might shed some light on my faith life, help deepen my relationship with Christ, and allow me to confidently share my God-given gifts with the world? Well, this is where I think Fox and Socks has a lot to offer. Now, everyone might read this book a little differently. And in fact, some of you may even see some similarities to the underlying message found in Green Eggs and Ham, where Sam I Am is desperately trying to get his friend to take a chance on eating something new. But the way I see Fox and Socks in biblical terms is a story of transformation. A story about a Mr. Fox doing everything in his power to show Mr. Knox that he has it within him to do something he does not feel competent or maybe even worthy of doing. Now, on the surface, maybe Mr. Fox just wants to play a game and needs a friend to play with. But as his playful pleading turns into insistent badgering, Mr. Knox, reaches a breaking point. Mr. Knox basically just snaps and shoots back with his own rhyming ram of relentless rhetoric. And when he does this, he puts Mr. Fox not only in a bottle, but in his place, so it seems. And I say so it seems because in the end, Mr. Fox got exactly what he wanted all along. He got someone to not only play with, but someone who now came to understand that he was capable of doing what Mr. Fox always knew he was capable of doing. So how does this story fit in with our teaching lesson this morning? How does Fox and Socks and the story of Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding of Cana fit together? Well, maybe it's a bit of a stretch, but I wonder if maybe Mary, Jesus' mother, wasn't to a certain extent goading her own son, just like Mr. Fox was goading Mr. Knox, to realize that the time had finally come for him to stop hiding who he was meant to be and just get going. Get going by starting to transform the world of his heavenly Father. And just like Mr. Knox made excuses, so does Jesus. And we read one of his excuses when he tells his mom that his hour has not yet come. That is his hour to stop sitting around and start moving full speed ahead into his messianic ministry. But Mary, the mom, knows her son, knows his true father, and knows that Jesus' excuse is founded not in reality, but possibly just fear. Maybe it's the fear that people just won't listen. Maybe it's the fear that people won't follow. Or maybe it's the very real fear that he already knows that once he begins, there's no turning back. No turning back to a simpler time and no turning back from how his life will unfold. Unfold as a life filled with so much joy, and yet also a life to be filled with so much heartache and eventual pain. Especially the pain of being handed over to death on the cross. And the temporary abandonment of so many of his friends and followers. But one person never abandoned him, and that was his mother Mary. Yes, Mary was there at the beginning of her son's ministry, and she was there at the very end too. And maybe that's only fitting because as she had such an integral hand in getting things going in the first place, it's only right that she be there by his side through the many ups and downs her son would see the next 3 years. You see, Mary didn't accept Jesus' excuse at his time had not yet come, and instead went and told the stewards at the wedding to do whatever her son tells them. Mary used a combination of a mother's guilt coupled with the assurance that given the chance, Jesus would rise to the occasion. And what was the occasion? Why, it was a wedding feast that was about to run out of wine. And a party such as this was no time for Jesus to be selfish or self-conscious, but rather was the perfect opportunity for Jesus to flex his miraculous muscles. Flex his miraculous muscles by giving them a little workout that not only would prove to himself that he was ready, but in addition would have the added benefit of ensuring that the young couple could begin their life together without the cloud of a scandal for having run out of wine hanging over their head. Well, as we all know now, Jesus eventually heeded his mother's request. He turned that water into wine so that the wedding party could go on without a hitch, and Jesus came to realize that his time had actually come. The time had actually come for him to get over any misgivings he might have been harboring and move ahead confidently, trusting in his Father's purpose for him, and by extension, for the sake of the world God loved so much. And God still loves this world. God still loves this world, even with all the ugliness and brokenness that still is ever present. God loves this world, even when unspeakable terrors occur. Unspeakable terrors like when disillusioned people lash out on purpose in shooting sprees, killing innocent victims. Unspeakable terrors like when a careless person accidentally tosses a hot stove in their car, which starts a fire killing a 6-year-old girl and badly burning her 9-year-old sister. And unspeakable terrors like when police officers have to make judgment calls on whether lethal force is a necessary response or simply the result of misguided racial prejudices. What's more, God still loves this world even when we hide from engaging in what we know to be unethical, immoral, or even potentially criminal actions on the part of our own government. But for as much as God still loves this world, even with all that seems to be going wrong, God never wants us to just sit bemoaning and complaining, but wants us to act for justice. Now, I love to watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. But for as much as I find his satire both funny and too often true, sometimes I need to take a break from watching his show because I find it way too easy to just become complacent and settle for hearing what's wrong rather than doing something to change this world and country I live in. And as both a Christian and a pastor, I know that we are called on to do more than just pray for change, but to get out there on the front lines and be a part of the change we believe Christ is calling us to and the Holy Spirit is leading us to engage in. So let's get out there and be a part of the change we want to see, not only because it's our responsibility as faithful followers, but because it's the right thing to do. Now, one of the things I love about this congregation is our focus on social action. And we don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. Why, did you know that according to Mark Cohen this past year, over 40 individuals in our congregation have participated in some social action activity? And this number doesn't even include those who might have brought donations of food or toilet paper or backpacks or school supplies. Think about that for a moment. Over 40 people are actively involved in making a change for good in our community. And this is quite an impressive number, considering our membership and average attendance numbers. But lest we get too self-congratulatory, we still are being called on to do even more. Maybe we're even being called on to become a reconciling in Christ congregation. To become a congregation that's willing to stand up and publicly affirm that we're not simply a welcoming congregation, but a congregation that's willing to go out of our way to be radically inclusive of everyone who not only walks through our doors, but radically inclusive of everyone we come in contact with everywhere. Everywhere and all the time. Now, next week, Rich Olson will be here to talk a little bit about the meaning of the rainbow flag and what it means to be Christ-centered, inclusive Christians. Then later in September, we will be holding a special congregational meeting to vote on our new welcoming statement. A new statement that joins together our current mission with what should be our future calling. A new statement that reads, "In Christ we worship and grow in faith. And growing in faith as community, we reach out to serve. As a reconciling in Christ congregation, we celebrate our diversity of age, race, gender identity, sexual orientation, culture, and citizenship. Now, it's no tongue twister of a statement along the lines of something Mr. Fox said to Mr. Knox, but I think it is definitely something that Mary, the Mother of God, would have been proud to hear come from the mouth of Jesus. So consider yourself warned that I, along with the support of our church council, are going to continue prodding and pulling and pleading and maybe even publicly shaming all of you until together we realize that excuses like "the time has not yet come" just aren't going to carry any weight around here anymore. What's more, if ever an excuse like this has ever carried some weight in the past, it never should have. It never should have if we truly believe that God loved the whole world and everyone so much that he sent his son into the world in the first place. Sent his son into the world to show us that we all matter regardless of our differences. Yes, the only thing that has ever mattered is that we are all children of God. We all are loved by God equally, and we are each called on to love one another without any exception. Without exception, period. Amen.